Days. Our sermon text, like I said, is from 1 Kings, chapter 3, and we're going to go verses 3 through 14, and we'll read this in Jesus' name. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in his statutes of David, his father, only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in his faithfulness and in righteousness and in uprightness of the heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out and come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for the multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and a discerning mind, so that none like you has been before, and none like you shall arise after. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all the days of your life. And if you will walk in my statutes and walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, when I will lengthen your days." Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. Father, we don't have an understanding in the flesh, and we don't ask for our own wisdom. We ask even this day the same wisdom that Solomon sought. It would be a wisdom from your hand, from your mind, given by your Spirit. Sanctify us in the truth. Father, we know your word is truth. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So I would imagine that many of us have heard this text before. I would imagine that we have taught it, even as Mark had spoken this morning. Thank you, Sunday school teachers, for teaching these life lessons, teaching about the history of the Scripture and the prophets of God and the kings of God and those that God has established to help us and to encourage us. We hear many of these accounts, but they never fall on deaf ears. They're an encouragement. Things were a little confusing back then. I don't know if you know that or not, but not everything has been black and white throughout our history. Not everything has been perfectly laid out. And there have been people that have turned around and usurped their authority in different places and actually tried to take what doesn't belong to them. There's no doubt about it. Nothing is new. Unfortunate part is we think everything is new because we are living the experiences. You know, we talk about the newness of diseases. Well, there was diseases back in the old days. They may not have understood what they were, but they were there. When people died and they were only in their 50s, that was considered old age. And now, we're living into our 80s. There's nothing new under the sun. I think Scripture talks about that a little bit. But now you come to this place. David is getting old. And David has definitely had a heart of faithfulness for God. Doesn't mean, and I know we don't want to hear this, but doesn't mean that David always walked perfectly as a human being. But the last time I checked, I'm not so hot at that myself. There are times in my life where the flesh does creep in and it has caused me to stumble, or it's caused me to doubt, or it's caused me to fear, or it's caused me to hate. So we can all say that we are sinners by nature, but saved by grace. And we ask God to lead us and to call us back when we wander outside of the path of righteousness, if we could say it. When David blew it, God sent to him servants to speak to him. But we turn around and we look at even his relationship with Bathsheba and we wonder, well, what good could ever come out of something like this? Because trust me, we still have that tendency when we face people in this world. Well, do you know who they are? Do you know what they've been through? Solomon is Bathsheba's son. God blessed in spite of us. God has a plan. One of the greatest things that I think that we could come to in our day and age is to understand out of the ruins of humanity, God can bring blessing. Out of our failures, out of our struggles, God is not done. But David's getting old. He's getting so old that his body's wearing down and he's becoming quite weak, and they're worried because he's getting very cold and clammy and they don't know what to do with him. So they decide that we're going to get a young woman to come here and just to keep him warm. He's failing. His reign is coming to an end. But then, who's going to take over? You think you have struggles. Who's going to take over? Adonijah? Is he going to take over? He decides he's going to. We see this all previously to our text. So I'm not gossiping. He decides to turn around and he was going to claim the kingship. And he actually goes out and makes sacrifices. He actually goes out and makes proclamation. He is taking the kingship on himself. And Nathan and Bathsheba hear about this and they're not very happy about it. It's funny because Solomon really doesn't seem to be involved here. And they turn around and they actually go to the king and say, "You have promised this, but your other son is stepping up. And he's saying it's his." David turns around and he hears what's going on and he does the right thing. He corrects the errors that are going on and he actually takes and he now blesses Solomon to be the king because that was the plan. But Solomon, we're not sure exactly how old he is. See, it says he's like a child when he talks to the Lord. But they say between 20 and 25 years old, so he's quite young. I'm not just boring you with this information. It's important. So after he's blessed as king, you can read in the first two chapters that Adonijah wanted to be king, and he actually got booted out. He's now afraid for his life. But second of all, there's two other political skirmishes that are going on for sure within this part. And you know what it comes down to? Solomon doesn't know what to do. He's struggling. He doesn't know whom to believe and whom not to believe, and he's struggling. We turn around even in our day in life and we look at our lives and we look at, maybe we start hearing about, today you could drink coffee because coffee is really good for you. And then you hear tomorrow, well, coffee's not so good for you. Maybe you shouldn't drink coffee. Then we hear, well, eggs, they're really good for you. And then we hear, well, maybe eggs aren't so good for you. And then we hear, well, you know what, a glass of wine is good for you. But then we hear, well, no, actually that doesn't do any good for you either. We know these are just our physical things here. I'm trying to stay away from everything else, but your imagination can run wild if you want. But we get two sides of the story all the time. Now you're only 20-something years old, and you are now put as king because your mother steps forward and says, I want my son to do this because you promised this. And now you're thrown into the midst of it. What is true and what isn't? Who is your friend? And who isn't? Solomon understands. He needs help. I need help. We need help.
Oh, I'm going to lose my sticker Evelina gave me. Put it back.
So we turn and we see. I got to get back to my text. We got to get this done. Says Solomon, after going through these first few skirmishes, at least three of them, just up to, we're only chapter 3. Solomon loved the Lord. He did. He was like David. He was raised in that understanding of how good God is. And so he said he loved the Lord, and he walked in his rulings. He walked in his word, just as David his father did. And he went and he made sacrifices. He worshiped God in the proper way. And he did it in a big way. And he was up there, and it says that he had 1,000 burnt offerings. And we don't know if that's a literal number or does it mean he really had a lot. He had a lot. Actually, if you go forward, David was not allowed to build the temple. And Solomon is actually allowed to do this because David had too much blood on his hands. And if you listen to the celebration of the dedication of this, there's hundreds of thousands of offerings made. It's just amazing to hear the amount that was poured out before God. But the fact of it is that he said he offered in a big way. And during this time, during this personal time, this private time of offering, paying reverence to his God, what takes place? See, Jesse's so busy, he doesn't have time sometimes, and maybe that's too human to say. But do we take time to stop and to meditate with our Lord, to speak to our Lord? Do we take time to pray, to encourage, to allow that the Spirit would work in our lives? Solomon, he was worshiping his Lord. He was worshiping his God. He was opening himself up. And what takes place? God comes to him. He comes to him and he speaks to him. It says, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God turns around and he asks, what do you want? What would you want? Think about it right now. God came to you in the middle of your evening, in the middle of your dream, and said, what do you want? I always remember there was a young man in his congregation that was talking to me at Bible camp, and it's a cute story. And he just said, oh, I would love to play the lottery. He says, because I would win. If I could win $10 million, $10 million, I'd give 10% to the Lord. And he'd be really happy. And I told him, I said, the Lord doesn't want 10%. The Lord wants all of it. That we honor and glorify him through our lives completely. That everything that we touch, everything that we do is to the honor and glory of God the Father. I'm not saying I'm successful at that. But how many times have we said things like that? But if God would speak to you at this moment and say, what do you want? It's amazing, isn't it? How many of us would say, I'd love to have $10 million? Or how many of us would say, I'd like to have no more aches and pains? Or maybe I like security in this world. I don't know what you would ask for. But when this is put to a king who actually had all authority, I want you to understand this. According to man, and I'm not saying God, but according to man, the king's not wrong. So he had authority. No matter what he said, it would be right. Everybody around him would be shining his shoes, saying he's right. He wasn't looking for that. Even as a king, he's wealthy. David was not a pauper. He inherited that. So he wasn't in need of great wealth. He wasn't looking to build his ego. What Solomon shows is a servant's heart. Because he was offered the world on a silver platter. Anything he wanted. When you're little kids, well, what would you do if a genie said that you have one wish? And he'll grant you one wish. First thing we say is that we get 10 more wishes. Because we're always looking for more. Solomon was not looking for more. Solomon was a young man that was brought into position of power, and the first thing that he realizes, I don't know anything. I don't understand. And people that say are my friends aren't my friends. And people that say, you know, that they are my brothers, they're trying to get rid of me and take over. I really don't know anything. So God asks him, what would you want? He doesn't ask for anything else but wisdom. Ask anything, and I shall give it to you. And Solomon turns and he answers, he says, you have shown. In other words, God, you have been faithful. You have shown yourself in steadfast love to your servant David. I've watched you. I've watched you work with my father, and you've done well. You've been gracious. You've been teaching him. You've been encouraging him. You've done all kinds of wonderful things, and you've been great to him. He says, why? He says, because he walked in faith. It wasn't that he was perfect, but he always looked to God. He walked in faith and in righteousness and in uprightness of the heart towards you. In other words, he served you and you alone. David is a powerful example of that. He really is. At least two times, Saul was given into his grasp where he could have taken him out. Once at the campfire, once in a cave. He could have taken him out. He could have killed him. And Saul was hunting David like a dog. Because he wanted to kill David. Even David's companions are like, God has handed him over to you. Just take him out. And what is David's answer? I am not to lay my hand on the anointed. He respected the position. I know it's foreign to us in this day and age. But he respected the position and he respected the blessing of God upon Saul. And he believed in his heart of hearts, God had a plan. David wasn't being faithful so much to Saul. He was being faithful to God. When God wanted Saul removed, he'll be removed. He says David acted in faith. He says he walked in the righteousness and the uprightness. He says, and you have kept him. You've kept him within this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to actually sit on his throne. In other words, you've blessed his lineage. You've blessed the continuance of this kingdom. And he says, oh Lord my God, you have made your servant a king. You see where that comes from? He's not saying David did this. God, you've seen this. You've allowed this. Oftentimes, when it comes to things in our lives, we always have a plan, don't we? We think it's going to go in this certain direction, and then we turn around and say, God, please, please allow this to take place. Please allow this to happen. And then we often, and maybe you don't do this, and if you don't, you're awesome. But I do it. Lord, I could just see this working out. Please allow this to take place. But your will be done. And then it doesn't take place. Well, it couldn't have been God's will. Why? Do I think I'm God? We must receive. And we must understand that God is sovereign. And he is above all these things. He says, so you have made me servant. He says, and I'm young. I'm like a child. I don't know. I don't know how to do this. I don't know when the proper time to do this is or to do that is or anything else. My wife and I have spent some time watching that series, The Crown. And you watch Princess Diana try to learn the steps of the crown. And she's like, you know, a fish out of water. She doesn't know what to do, what's proper, what's not, who to bow down to, who not to. Can you imagine? Solomon doesn't know who really is on his side and who is not. Who is there to encourage him and who is there to hinder him. He understands this. But he doesn't turn around and act out rashly and start getting rid of everybody. He goes to the Father. He says, and your servant, he says, I'm in the midst of a people, a great mass. I'm responsible. And that's really what this brings out. He says, of all this great multitude, he says, this group that I'm in charge of, it's a multitude that no one can number. It's immense. So then he finally gets to the point of what he's looking for. Give me wisdom. Give me the ability to lead as a leader truly should. He says, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I might actually be able to tell what is good and what is evil. We forget that sometimes. We forget that we are not fighting flesh and blood. We forget it oftentimes in our life. It's principalities and powers. We need to remember that from Ephesians. Stop getting angry at the people. And continue to seek from God the Father to allow good to overcome. We are living in a dynamic opportunity right now, whether we want to see it or not, to continue to love, continue to preach, and continue to encourage people that there is a better way. Father, I'm not seeking from you riches. I'm not seeking from you popularity. Those things he doesn't even mention. He doesn't even say he's not looking for them. I think that's what blows God away. He says, I see the enormous task that's before me. Help me. Give me the ability to lead your people. Because they're his. He says, give me that understanding to govern your people, that I may discern what is good and what is evil. He says, for who is able to govern your great people? And that question is not lost. Who is actually able to do this? Not Solomon on his own. Not David on his own. It is Yahweh. It is God the Father. He is the one that is able to do this. And God is actually pleased in this. See, God is pleased when we're not selfish. I know it sounds like a very simple thing, doesn't it? When we're not selfish, when we actually desire to do good for others. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself, he says, long life or riches, or actually you haven't asked for revenge, the life of your enemies. He says, but you have asked for yourself God's gift of understanding and the ability to discern what is right. He says, behold, I'm going to give it to you. God says, that's what I desire. I desire for you to be a king, to be a leader. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if there was ever a time that this was needed, it is now. It was needed back then. It's been needed through history, no doubt about it. But we need leaders, true leaders. And we got to stop looking out there. It starts right here with each and every one of us to lead in the truth and the truth of the gospel, to enter into this world understanding that we're not fighting flesh and blood. We are in reality fighting principalities and powers. It is God's power entering into this world that will overcome all of this evil. But maybe, just maybe, we think it's too old-fashioned. I mean, now I said it and it's on Facebook, so it's got to be at least relevant. And if Facebook isn't good enough, it's on YouTube too. Brothers and sisters in Christ, nothing has changed. Our God is still on a throne. Our Savior has still given his life in our behalf. And we still are given by grace through faith the power of his Holy Spirit to enter into a world to encourage and to strengthen and to bring the truth. But we can't do it alone. When we feel overwhelmed, we look to him. And we ask him to equip us and to give us the ability. God is so impressed. I think one of the greatest things that he does, he says, son, you are my son. You are my child. You are my king. Since you've let go, I'll give you everything else you didn't even ask for. Didn't Jesus talk about that in the New Testament somewhere? When you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. Let go. This isn't just for you, it's for me. And allow God to lead in our lives. What can they do to you? Allow God to lead in our lives. He says, since you have asked for this wisdom, and brothers and sisters in Christ, this isn't just for kings. It's for all of us in Christ. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Seek from him. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will strengthen you. And so therefore, he says, I will give you all that you have asked for, but all the more I will give you what you have not asked for. You will be the wealthiest king. You will be the wisest king. And people came from all over to do this. And then he gives a statement. He says, I will, in reality, extend your days if you walk. If you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, I will lengthen your days. You will enjoy this bounty. Well, he reigned for 40 years. He died around 60, 65 years old. And you know, the wisest man that ever was, the richest man that ever was, and he still, in his flesh, failed. Well, he had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and he was building altars, allowing them to be built for his foreign wives. We used to have a saying back in the day, allow the devil to take your finger. Next thing you know, he has his old arm. Yeah. Sitting on the couch in the living room, right? Brothers and sisters in Christ, stay true to God. Stop looking everywhere else. It's not found in our riches. It's not found in our fame. Our preservation is found in Christ Jesus and him alone. And through him, we are more than conquerors. My dad used to have a saying, they can't take your birthday away from you. And it's still true. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our day in Christ is secured by his blood. Continue to look to him and be encouraged. We might go through awesome times, and we might go through rough times. But even as the song says, He is the God of the mountains and the God of the valleys. He is still our God. Solomon proves that. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this day. And we thank you, Father, for the victory.